If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I want to take a look, at a very familiar story here. But this is a text that I believe with all of my heart, very sadly I say this, and I truly mean that, very sadly. That there is a correlation by this text that God talks about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. And that only one came back to give God thanks for that. And the correlation is how many of us have had blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And because of pressure, because of time, because of whatever, we forgot to thank God, even for the small thing. We thank God almost automatically when he does something miraculous in our life, some big thing, but it's a small thing. If you don't believe it's a problem, listen in on prayer meetings. Listen in churches when the pastor is praying. Who is really thanking God for all that he has poured down upon us individually and as our family. So I want to take a look at this, a message that I've titled, Thanking God in the Face of Overwhelming Needs. Thanking God in the Face of Overwhelming Needs. Let me begin reading chapter 17 and beginning in verse 11. And the word of God says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. That he, of course, is Jesus. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And he lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Let us pray. Oh Lord, speak to us right where we are this morning. With your inerrant, your powerful, your life-changing word. Lord, we give you thanks for what you're about to do. And I pray your word penetrates joint and marrow, hearts, lives, beginning with mine, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a true story told by an author and a pastor by the name of Jim Van Yeperen. Jim Van Yeperen tells a story about a woman named Margaret who was in one of the churches that he had pastored years ago. And Margaret was confined to a wheelchair for most of her life. She was confined to this wheelchair. And she lived with a body that was both contorted, if you will, and it was just misshapen. And she was just ravaged by multiple sclerosis. Well, she spoke softly, and she used slurring words when she did speak. She drooled from the mouth almost constantly. And she was in constant pain, near constantly. She was in pain all of her waking hours. And Margaret, Jim said, she really had a right, I guess, to complain about her pain, about her suffering, about multiple sclerosis, about being confined to a wheelchair. But he said there was one thing about Margaret. Margaret never missed church. She was there in her wheelchair on Sunday morning, on Sunday evening. Some of you may remember Sunday evening services. She was there on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. She was there at the prayer meeting on Wednesday. She was there on any special occasion that the church was having. She was there, and she was in her wheelchair, and she always had a freshly pressed dress as she sat there. He said, one evening after I had recently gotten to the church, I got all the people together. He said it was about 20, and I was doing a kind of a study with them. I was conducting a forum, and I asked them a question, and I said, what is your favorite Bible verse or your passage that has been personally meaningful to you? And he said, some of them were telling, quoting a Bible verse or a phrase or something like that. And he would write them on the whiteboard behind him. Most of the people recited their verses from memory. And all of us have at least one verse that we can recite from memory, hopefully more than that. But he said, since Margaret couldn't speak, she looked at me, and I could tell that she wanted to give me a verse that was very important to her. And so I looked up the verse that she wanted me to share with the group. And this was the verse from Psalm 119, verse 71. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. And Margaret smiled just broadly from that wheelchair, and she nodded in her head. And Jim said her wheelchair was a testimony to her grace and God's grace to him. There is a song that some of you may know. It's from Mercy Me, and it's entitled Bring the Rain. I've been sharing with some of you this week, you know, when God blesses you with the sunshine, you got to expect a little rain, and you got to live within that rain. Mercy Me says, when this life brings me pain, if that's what it takes to praise you, Lord, bring the rain. I just think that's beautiful. Lord, whatever it takes, I want to glorify you with my body. I want to glorify you with my thoughts. I want to glorify you with the blessings and the gifts and the talents that you have poured down upon me, probably the least deserving of a person to receive what you have done for me. On many occasions, we see in Scripture, I mean, just throughout Scripture, that men and women and kids, children, if you will, have an overwhelming need. I didn't plan on doing this, but if there's somebody here this morning that does not have an overwhelming need, would you raise your hand? Don't anybody look around. You don't have an overwhelming need, don't raise your hand. Don't scratch your head. We all do. And if you don't have an overwhelming need now, you know, and we know you will. But I want us to thank God. When we encounter Jesus, when we face these overwhelming needs, and I thought as I was preparing this message of those who had an overwhelming need, just many in Scripture, but just a few. Remembering Cana, there was a nobleman's son who was at the point of death, and they encountered Jesus, and his son was healed. Do you remember in Capernaum, the leper that encountered Jesus, and Jesus healed him? In Nain, the widow whose son had died, on the way to being buried, and Jesus was encountered by this woman. You can imagine with her son being dead. And Jesus changed his life, brought him back to death. How about Galilee, where the deaf and dumb man was full of demons as well, and he encountered Jesus. Those demons encountered Jesus as well, and they fled, and the man was healed. And go on and on. Well, there in your outline, I want to give you this proposition as a basis for this message, as a basis for our life. And that proposition is, no matter how disastrous your circumstances or how devastating the situation, when you encounter Jesus, everything can change in your life. And on this Thanksgiving 2023, given all of the problems, not just in America, but in the world, God wants to encounter this world. And he's going to encounter the world for a second time. The first time he encountered this world was on that cross there in Jerusalem. Interestingly, that this week it was reported in many of the newspapers and on in the press that in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, where so many from all over the world go to on Christmas Eve to celebrate the coming of the Lord, that all the Christian decorations, all the anything that has to do with Christ is being taken out, not just Manger Square, but out of Bethlehem. And it's kind of symbolic of where we are in the world today. It's symbolic of the number of people in this free land, still free land, that have heard about Jesus Christ, about salvation, about the forgiveness of sins, about being healed from drug or whatever the case may be, alcoholism, physical disabilities, emotional disabilities. And yet we are where we are today. And again, I want to say, sadly, it's a correlation of where so many Christians are today. We receive the Son, but we don't thank him for the Son until the rain comes. And then we do as these lepers did. They cried out to Jesus. Now we need Jesus. We need Jesus every day. We need Jesus every hour of every day, because there is spiritual warfare going on. And Satan wants you. And let me just say, I believe Satan wants you far more sometimes than we want God. And we're going to encounter him. That's just life. It's what the Bible says. So I want to look at the lepers' conditions. I want to look at Jesus' response, and then the lepers' conversion, and then the promise of God has for you and for me as we approach this Thanksgiving day on Thursday. Let's look at the lepers' condition here. Three things about the lepers' condition. Obviously, they're horribly sick, and they are in a hopeless situation. I don't know if you've ever seen any lepers, but it's a pitiful situation. And it's described here. Leprosy is a disease that begins with white spots. Normally, when there's a certain diseases, you can see that there's something wrong. And with leprosy, it just begins with little white spots. I've become quite familiar with pancreatic cancer. And I can look at someone and see their complexion, see that yellowness that is just on their face or perhaps on their arms or hands. And the first thought that comes to my mind is pancreatic cancer. So there's signs, and for these lepers, it began with just small white spots on their body. And what happens is that person literally rots away. The white spots just begin to grow and grow, and they begin to consume this person. And they literally, I guess you'd say, rot to death. They just collapse. They just waste away. A terrible disease, leprosy. Well, these 10 had this terrible physical disease, but they had something far worse than the physical disease. They had a spiritual disease. And isn't that true today? We know people. They have physical diseases. We pray for them. But underneath, behind that name, in that person, there may be a more serious disease that they have that is going to cause them death, not just physical death, but death from eternity with Christ in heaven. And so these lepers were horrifically sick, and they were in a hopeless condition. In other words, they had an overwhelming need. Well, the second thing about these lepers, they were experiencing isolation, and that's what the Bible says. Verse 12, and as he entered the village, meaning Jesus, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. The lepers had to, they were banished from the village. Once they were identified to have leprosy, they had to get out of town. They had to get out of the village. And so they were out there in the field. And you know something else I learned? When a person had, when a person was diagnosed with leprosy, or obviously they had leprosy, the family would hold a funeral for them, even before they died. Mark, I know you and Gene have been in Hawaii for years, and there's that leper colony still there. That leper colony. Used to fly over that all the time, and just think about leprosy. It's still in the world today. And what did these men have to do? They were sent out from their families. They were sent out from their families. They couldn't go to temple. They couldn't worship with any of the other people. And they had to cry out. If someone that didn't have leprosy came within their distance, they had to cry out 3 times very loudly, unclean, unclean, unclean. Wonder how that would go over if I walked down the street and saw one of my favorite people, and I knew a godly woman or a godly man, and I said, unclean, I'm a sinner, stay away. What a horrible life. Knowing that their death certificate was already signed, and that their family was writing them off. What is that saying? There's no hope. Just like when somebody says pancreatic cancer, I say in my experience, no hope. So just think of the condition of these 10 lepers. And there's a third thing about these 10 lepers. In verse 13, look at verse 13 in our text. And they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. You know what they were doing? They were searching for Jesus. They were out there and they heard about Jesus. And they saw and they cried out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. What were they calling for? They were calling for a miracle, because only a miracle could heal that disease of leprosy. There wasn't any physician that could do it. There wasn't any oil or anything that the Jewish religious people could do that was going to heal them. And notice they cried out. They didn't just say, hey, Jesus. They cried out to Jesus. If you have a child, you're on the beach, just as an example. If you're on the beach and you're sitting there and you're in your chair and all of a sudden you see your child is getting too far out there, especially in Galveston when it's really dangerous down there. They're getting too far out, and you don't just say, hey, son, come on back. No, you yell. Come back here. Come back. And this is what the lepers were doing. Jesus. They didn't say this, but they said, Jesus, I need a miracle. They heard about Jesus being able to heal people. And so they cried out. You know, they had to stay outside of 50 feet from a person that had leprosy. And on a windy day, do you know they had to stay, according to the rules, they had to stay 200 feet away when the wind was blowing on a windy day? They had to stay 200 feet away. So the point is, they were quite some distance away from Jesus when they recognized him or heard about him. And so they cried out to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? What does Jesus do when you cry out to him? What has he done when you've cried out to Jesus in your life? Well, what was Jesus' response to these lepers? Number one, verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Why did he do that? Well, we've been studying about this in Hebrews, that we have a high priest now. His name is Jesus Christ. He's gone into the Holy of Holies. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And so we can come to the high priest anytime we need to him. We can cry out to him anytime we need to him. But why did Jesus respond the way he did? Listen, this is huge. Jesus saw the condition of their hearts, just as he sees the condition of our hearts, and he wanted to heal them. Jesus wanted to heal them. As he looks at our hearts, saved sinners or unsaved, and he looks at our hearts, he says, "I want to save you. I want you to come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I want to take those burdens away, or I want to do something that's going to show you that I do work in your life for your very best." Friends, that is why Romans 8:28 is such a powerful verse and why it's used so often. Because it's God's word, number one, and number two, it's true. I work, God says, in your life, in all those lives, for the very good, for the good of those who love me and were called. That's a promise that God cannot break. So thank God that he knows our circumstances. Jesus' primary objective was not to heal them of leprosy. His primary objective was to heal their souls. We've got souls today that need to be healed. And Jesus says, "I'm right here. Call out to me. Begin to do what my word asks you to do. Call out to me and I will heal you." Will he heal us physically? Sometimes. Will he heal us emotionally? Sometimes. But whatever he does, whatever he allows to come into our life, we know it's for our good. I don't know why some things happen in my life or Pat's life. I don't know. But God does. And so we trust God. All the sunshine that he brings down, we got to expect a little rain because this is life. And sometimes that rain is hard. You ever been in a stinging rain where the rain, it was coming so hard and the wind was blowing, it just stung? Well, sometimes that's what happens. But you know what? Sun always comes up after the rain. Always comes up after the rain. In that dark valley that you may be in or I'm in, the sun's going to come up. And it may come up on the other side of the Jordan, but it's going to come up. And there's going to be complete healing. He touched those with an overwhelming need for salvation. If there's somebody here today or listening online or sees this later, he will touch you with an overwhelming, surefire gift of salvation if you just call out to him and tell him your need. Second thing about Jesus' response, in verse 14, I just read that and mentioned it, but he told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priests. Why the priests? Why did he do that? Well, I want you to turn, keep your finger here. I'm not going to do a lot of cross-referencing, but let's go back to one of your favorite books called Leviticus. I know you try to read and memorize much of Leviticus, but let's just take a look at it this morning. Told the lepers to go and show yourselves to the priest. Why? Because it was one of their laws. Don't miss that. It was one of the Old Testament laws. And listen to what he said in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing." In other words, you want to be healed? The lepers want to be healed? This is what they got to do. "He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then if the case of leprous disease is healed, the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two clean birds, cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, and hyssop." In other words, make a sacrifice, an offering. "And the priest shall command," verse 5, "them to kill one of the birds in the earthenware vessel or the fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and the dip, and dip them." Look at all they have to do according to law when they go to the high priest. Then look down in verse 8. "And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that, he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent for 7 days. And on the seventh day, he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean." All we have to do today is to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have to do any shaving. Don't have to do any washing. Don't have to do any of that. It was already done on the cross. For who? For you. Just as easy. So what was Jesus telling them? You go to the priests. Why was he doing that? Don't miss this. There's a correlation with what he's saying to them with where we are today. He was essentially telling them, you go to the priest because we're going to do things God's way. And I said, I didn't say this, paraphrase, I said in the Old Testament in my writings to Moses, when you have this problem, you go and you show. We're going to do this according to the law. We need to do what God says in the New Testament, the New Covenant, to be healed, to be forgiven, to be whatever. We need to do it God's way. Not what the doctor says, not what the pastor says, not what somebody that's been through the same thing says. We need to do what God says. God only works in his way. We'll do it my way or we'll do it your way. But if I do it your way, you're going to come to me and you're going to cry out to me and you're going to wish you have done it in my way. Why? Because I love you and I gave my life. I gave my son Jesus Christ for you. So let's do it my way. Friends, where would we be in America today if we did it his way? Not some politician's way. Where would we be today? I think about this so often. Where would I be today if my parents had done it God's way when I was a teenager? And I love my parents. And I'm not being critical of them. I'm just saying, what would it have been like if we'd have done it God's way? Well, of course, we don't know. But we can do it God's way beginning today in anything that we encounter. Look at this third response from Jesus. He healed and transformed their lives. They didn't suffer physically. They didn't suffer emotionally anymore. They were healed. They were no longer outcasts of society. Now they could come in and they could worship with their family. They could worship with their friends. Why? Why? Because of Jesus' transforming power. Listen to me. Jesus' transforming power in your life or over your life and my life is greater than any overwhelming need you may have or any overwhelming need you may be experiencing right now. God's power, the power of Almighty God, is living inside of you and living inside of me. That is real. That is true. That is one of the purposes Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I know your fear. I know you're not going to understand what I'm doing, but one day you will. And I'm going to ask my Father to give you the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, all that power to live inside of you. Because you're going to go through disciples, and now we disciples, you're going to go through some really tough times in this life. But I want you to know you've got the power of Almighty God. Listen, Jesus' power can cure a disease. It can solve a crisis. Can solve a financial situation. Can heal a marital situation. Can bring a lost child that has strayed. It can bring him back. Can bring a husband who is unequally yoked and he just took off. It can bring him back. Same way with a spouse. There is nothing that God's power, if we do it God's way and seek to do it God's way, that he won't do. And if he doesn't do it the way we want it, the way we ask him for, it's always going to be better. That's what his word says. It's going to be better. How many times have you asked God for something and then you got past it and you said, thank God he didn't answer my prayer. Amen. Never said that. Amen. Okay, the leper's conversion. Look at this very quickly. The leper's conversion was immediate, right? They called out to God. They encountered Jesus, and immediately there, they were healed. Verse 15, and as they went, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. One of them turned back immediately, realized he was healed. And the joy and excitement, what joy and excitement there must have been from leprosy. I'm healed. Isn't there joy and excitement? We ring a bell when someone's cured of cancer. There in MD Anderson, I guess other cancer centers, when you're pronounced healed of cancer, they go out and they ring that bell and everybody cheers. And many of the staff will line the hallway of that hospital as that person is leaving, to the joy of their family. To their own personal joy. I'm healed of this thing that was going to kill me. Well, when Jesus heals a sin problem, it's healed. I'm going to say it again. You got a sin problem? When Jesus heals your sin problem, you're healed. Does that mean you're not going to sin again? Of course, you know the answer to that. Of course we are. But when you have never received Jesus Christ, and you carry around this sin, God says, bring it to me. I'm a healer. I can heal of what's dragging you down. I can heal a spiritual death in your life. Bring it to me as they did. So their conversion was immediate. You notice, secondly, there was only one leper that humbled himself, and he thanked Christ for what he had done for him. Why did he do that? We sing Amazing Grace. This leper met grace, and his name was Jesus. When we cry out to God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind, we encounter grace. And his name is that river that flows with life, with healing, with peace, with whatever it needs. Storehouse is a blessing, God says. I've got them here. If you'll do it my way, according to the word of God, storehouse is a blessing. You know, look at verse 17. This is really important here. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? You know, that is a question that God should never have to ask you or me. Should never have to ask. Why didn't you thank me? You saw what I did for you. Why didn't you take time to thank me? You know, when you give somebody something, when you sacrifice perhaps, and you give somebody something, maybe it's not even a sacrifice, you just invite somebody to dinner, you do something. Shouldn't there be a response, thank you? Not just verbally, but a written note. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you. It was so wonderful. But anything that we've ever done here, anything I've ever done for you, have you done for me, it pales in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for all of us. Shouldn't we say thank you? When we're in a prayer meeting, shouldn't we praise God? Do we have to? We don't have to look for things to praise God. Praise God for life. If you're here this morning, you're breathing. Praise God that He gave you a new day. He gave you another day. For some of us, perhaps He's given us another day to begin to do it God's way. And see, He will ring that bell and He will pronounce you healed. God will do that. Do not remember. If Jesus does something to you, do not forget to thank Him and to praise Him. We sang that song, praising Him. Well, here's the promise, and we'll close. Here's God's thanksgiving promise, I believe, to you and to me. Jesus has the power to make you whole and transform your life today. Whether you're an unbeliever or you're a believer, whether you're caught somewhere in between sin and anger and whatever else can affect you or can affect a brother, or sisters in Christ, God says, I can heal you right now. My promise is I can make you whole. I can transform your life today. Let me add to that. God can transform your circumstance, your situation today. He may do it today. He may receive it today. And He said, my timing is perfect, but you're going to know that you asked me to do this for you. And you know that I gave my son Jesus Christ because I love you. How many times do we think about Jesus? How many times do we not do something that we know God wants us to do? We haven't read for a few days. We haven't prayed. And immediately Satan says, man, is He ever angry with you now? Man, He's going to get you now. No, Jesus says, Today, what do you need today? And that leper, all those 10 lepers needed healing. And He healed them. And only one came back and thanked Him. If God changes your situation, alters your situation, I just want you to know when God transforms a life, and I'm hopeful that every person here, when God transforms your life, amazing things can happen. Amazing things can happen. Miraculous things can happen. Maybe some little things happen, like peace comes upon you. Or your heart feels good now because you know it was from Jesus. Where are you today? Is there something that you need to be healed? I know there's some that need to be healed physically. But is there anyone here that needs to be healed spiritually? Rather, and I'm not just talking about receiving Christ. I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ that aren't doing things God's way. Second greatest commandment always amazes me. They ask you, what's second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we do on that? I don't do too well. I don't do as well as I should. But yet God says it's the second greatest commandment. But I can tell you, I can look at you all. I can tell you I love you. It's just those guys outside in Walmart that gives me problems. And I'm being facetious. What is it that you need today? Would you bow with me as we come before the Lord? Again, what a wonderful day to put a spiritual marker down here and truly enjoy perhaps a Thanksgiving that we have never enjoyed before. Heavenly Father, see our hearts. hear the silent cries that may be going up right now, Father, in this sanctuary or maybe online on our live stream. Someone with a marital situation, a financial situation, an emotional or physical situation, some of which may seem dire, may seem impossible. But then your word says you're the God of the possible. We can move mountains if we just have the faith of a mustard seed. Do we really believe that, Father? Will you really do what you say you will do if we have the faith of a mustard seed? Well, I know something powerful, God, that if someone cries out to you right now and says, Jesus, I am not saved. I'm a sinner. I'm hooked on this or I'm hooked on that. I'm not worthy of being saved. God, just remind them that that thief on the cross looked at Jesus. He wasn't worthy to be saved. He was a thief, a robber. And he looked at you, encountered you there on the cross. And you told him, today you will be with me in paradise. So God, if there's a heart crying out to you for salvation right now, God, help them to repent. Help them to give that sin to you. Help them to receive. And from this moment on, because you have saved them, to do things God's way. To do things according to the Word of God. And Father, we just give you praise. And I know that if the person doesn't realize it now, soon and very soon, he will realize what has happened when that Holy Spirit begins to make changes in his life. Heavenly Father, for someone here today, as we stand and we praise you from our hearts, and this your invitation, pleading with people to come, God, I just pray that maybe they want to come to the altar. Maybe they want to just take somebody's hand. And Lord, if there's a heart that's looking for a church and you lead them to Pine Drive, then God, we just praise you for that, because our hearts are open to those who come. And Father, I would conclude that as we have people here today that are searching for your next leader here at Pine Drive, God, that you would so overpower them with that right person, the one you want, God. And that soon and very soon, we'll gather as a congregation and praise God and say that it only could have been of God. Father, whatever it is, this is your invitation. And then we're going to join hands and we're going to leave. God, don't let us allow us to leave the way we came. If there's something we need to leave here, something we need to be forgiven for, something we need help for, God, we thank you in Jesus Christ's name for hearing us. Now you hear our voices as we sing to you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as our praise team leads us in our invitation?